Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. This is one of those weeks. We have a double Parsha, double whammy, Acharimos and Kedoshim. A daunting, daunting task because both Parshas, each Parsha, Acharimos and Kedoshim, we could spend an entire day, entire week, an entire month on to try to cover and offer insights on both in one class. Is daunting indeed, but we'll do our best. I want to thank, as always, our generous series sponsors. First of all, Becky and Avi Katz. And family in memory of Becky's father, David Grossman, Louis Lenishmar's David Ben Menachem Manush. Our learning should be in his memory. And also, the other series sponsor, the Dyckman family, in memory of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachaba Shalom Ezra, passed away tragically in childbirth, a very, very special woman of tremendous emuna, who loved to learn with us online. And certainly, our series is now dedicated in her memory as well. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Today's shiur is sponsored anonymously in the merit of Avner Ben Avram HaKohen. Anonymously in honor of Lloyd Hoffman's birthday. Happy birthday. And by Colin Stein and his children, a memory of his beloved wife, Fega Bas Moshe. When we miss her, Neshama should have an aliyah. We miss her in our community. Anonymously for the Refuah Shleima of Yitzhak Menachem Ben Karen Yosef, who should have a full, complete, and speedy Refuah Shleima. I also want to dedicate our learning. Today is Yom HaZikaron. And there are so many who gave their lives. We don't have to offer, we don't have to wish that their neshama has an aliyah because it can't go any higher. Because those who died, HaKiddush Hashem, those who gave their lives fighting for and defending the Jewish people in the Jewish homeland, their soul sits right next to the Kisei HaKavod, next to the Divine Throne. And so while their neshama can't and doesn't need to go any higher, certainly we dedicate our learning in their memory with endless and boundless gratitude for their sacrifice and with their family very much in our hearts and on our minds today. Yom HaZikaron. The parshas we're reading are called Acharimos Kedoshim. After the death, Kedoshim. And those more than 25,000 who over the course of Israel's modern history gave their lives fighting and defending, too many over the last 3 years in the war that is not yet over. I reached out today. We've hosted so many in our shul, in our community, and on our podcast, conversation with parents, wives, family members of those who lost loved ones. Our learning is dedicated to them, and we join Klal Yisrael. We join Klal Yisrael around the world in today feeling and thinking about their loss, their memory, and their family, sending a lot of love, strength, and comfort. Page 636 in the Eretz Gros Son Chumash. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Acharei Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron Bekerav Asam Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu. Hashem speaks to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron Bekerav Asam Lefnei Hashem when they brought a sacrifice to God that was not sanctioned, thank you, Vayamusu, and they paid the great price. There was a death penalty. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, God speaks to Moshe, Daber al Aaron Achicha, speak to your brother Aaron. I believe in last year's Parsha class we dealt with, why is Aaron identified as Moshe's brother? As if Moshe has to turn to God and say, wait one second, which Aaron? Speak to Aaron, but so many Aarons in my class, which Aaron? Oh, Aaron Achicha, oh, my brother Aaron. Why does Hashem have to identify him as Aaron Achicha? We dealt with that last year. Vayavo b'chol isa l'kodesh, mibes l'paroches, apnei ha-kaporas, asher aron lo yamus, ki b'anan ere ha-kaporas. Moshe is instructing his brother Aaron, you cannot enter. Don't just walk in whenever you want. Al yavo b'chol eis. Don't ever get too casual. Don't ever get too comfortable. Familiarity breeds contempt. And therefore, if we want sanctity and holiness, we've discussed this too in the past. It's so hard. I have my favorite Divrei Torah on every parsha. And to have the discipline not to review it because we want to get to new things. I'm not asking if you have sympathy for me. It's not a tough life. I'm just saying this is what I go through. In any case, ayavo b'choleis, whether it's in marriage, relationships, sanctity of the shul, the Beis HaMikdash, you exit it a different way than you came in. Don't ever become too familiar. Don't ever get too casual. We have to keep the spontaneity and the holiness and the sanctity and the love and the connection alive. And that was true. That's embodied here in this warning, al yavo b'chol eis, you cannot come in whenever you want. Again, we did dealt with this much more in the past. B'zos yavo aron l'kodesh. So don't come in, al yavo b'chol eis. Don't come in on a whim. Don't come in casually or comfortably. Don't come in whenever you want. How should you come in? How do you enter the holy? B'zos. Only with a sense of zos. What is zos? B'zos yavo aron. With this. What's this? Zos is ambiguous. What's Zos? Mysterious. And then we elaborate a little bit of young bull for a sin offering, a ram for an elevation offering. He puts on his sacred linen and the parsha goes on. I want to start with a few insights of the Menachem Tzion. I told you last week, a new edition of the Menachem Tzion, Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks, a Rav in Chicago, the son-in-law of Rav Chi Pesach Frank, the great-grandfather of Rabbi Sachs from Passaic, the land of his family. A new edition of the Menachem Tzion came out with bonus, extra, amazing Divrei Torah. I'm a big fan and I love to quote the Menachem Tzion. V'ayavo b'chol Yisrael HaKodesh, Isa b'Yerushalmi Brachos, the Talmud Yerushalmi Misachas Brachos says on the Pasuk, Eis lasos l'Hashem, heferu sorosecha. There's a Pasuk at the very big, at the Perakud Kuf Yud Tes of Tehillim, chapter 119, the one that goes according to the alphabet, on the Ayin, Eis lasos l'Hashem, heferu sorosecha. And the Yerushalmi Brachos elaborates on this Pasuk and says, Ha'osa Taraso Itim Harizem Mefer Bris. Pasuk says, Eis Lasos Lashem. Now the simple types, the simple translation of the words are, Eis Lasos Lashem, in a time that one has to do for God, Heferu Sarasecha, you're even allowed to, so to say, with God's permission, violate or sacrifice or compromise Torah because it's for Hashem. Indeed, this Pasuk was invoked When Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the great leader of the Jewish people, took the incredible, courageous, but also controversial decision to write down the Oral Torah, to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, he invoked this pasuk, Eis Lasos Lashem, Heferu Sorasecha. Torah was lost. If he didn't codify it, if he didn't write it down, if he didn't capture it in posterity, it was in danger of being lost. Therefore, because it was an ace, it was a time, Lasos Lashem, he had to do something drastic for God. He was entitled, he had license, Heferu Sarasecha. That's the simple understanding of the Pasuk. However, the Yerushalmi Brachas at the end of the ninth parak writes, Ha'osa Taraso Itim. What does the word Itim means? The times. If you turn the Torah into the times. Ha'izah Mefer Bris, you're violating the covenant with God. Because Heferu Sarasecha, Eis Lasos Lashem. Ha'osa Taraso, Haina Torah Chadasha, Shumamti Midaito, Ubodu Melibo, Itim, Lefiruach Hazman, V'ha'es, Ki Ha'es Neshtanes, V'ima Tzricha Torah Leishtanos, Ha'reza Mefer Bris. The word of Menachem Tzion Zaks understands that it is, if you try to distort Torah to make it conform with the times that you're living. So you open the newspaper and it says, you're supposed to believe this, and you're supposed to now use this new definition of that, and you're supposed to now see this policy as this. You say, okay, I guess we're going to have to adjust Torah. I guess Torah is just going to have to conform. I guess we'll officiate at this, and we'll attend that, and we'll compromise on this, and we'll allow that new rule here. If a person brings that attitude, they're mefer habris. They are compromising and corrupting the very covenant with the Almighty. Sofos sheyapir es bris haTorah kula umaschal b'shinuyim v'tikunim kalim lefiruach ha'is. If you think you're going to make minor adjustments, if you think you're going to try to make Torah conform to the times, so for Shayafa is Bris HaTorah Kula. In the end, you won't even have a recognizable religion. In the end, it won't even represent Judaism. Humascha b'shinuyim v'tikunim kalim v'ruach ha'es m'sayim b'afaras HaTorah Kula. Azen ne'amar, Eis lasos l'Hashem, kasher ha'adam choshev she'asiyah l'Hashem t'luya b'ruach ha'es, harezeh heferu sorasecha. It's a different taich. It's a different way of understanding. Eis lasos l'Hashem, if you're going to do for God based on the times, literally and figuratively, you're going to open the times, you're going to open the paper, and you're going to see what you're supposed to believe, what's popular, what's in, what's current, and you're going to adjust or distort or pervert or make Torah conform to the times, you'll end up heferu sorasecha, you will distort, compromise, corrupt Torah. HaTorah ha-metziyah ha-tabiyadeni nesilu Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah was given to us is immutable. It's non-negotiable. Certainly, we innovate, even within Torah. We have a Shabbos elevator, and we have a Prizbol, and we have all kinds of innovations, but they're operating within a system. We're operating within Torah. But you can't change Torah. We don't change axioms and basic definitions. We don't change halacha, chalila v'chas. Lotei mukhlefes. And that's why the Torah that's in our hands was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lotei mukhlefes v'lotei Torah acheres. One of the 13 principles of our faith is it is immutable. It is non-negotiable. It cannot be changed or compromised. It doesn't conform to the times in which we live. So the Kohen Gadol, Kishin Nechnas, L'Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, when all the Jewish people were watching him, and he was going in order to atone for the people, Mitzuvah B'tzav B'yuchad Al Yavo B'chol Eis. Listen to this new interpretation. I love the Menachem Tzion. Says the Menachem Tzion, Lo Yavo b'chol eis. The simple understanding was, don't be casual, don't be comfortable. Don't just walk in whenever you want. Don't open a door without knocking. Don't come in without being invited in. Don't be too comfortable. That was the simple understanding. But the Menachem Tzion says, you know what it means? Lo yavo b'chol eis. When you come into shul, don't bring the Times with you. Because the inside of shul could care less what it says in the Times. The inside of shul is not concerned with its definitions and its policies, with its approaches and its perspective, with its ideology and its philosophy. In here, we open the Aron and we open a Torah and we see what the Torah tells us. The Torah projects on us. We don't chalila project onto the Torah. The Torah dictates and determines what we believe and what we practice, our lives and our lifestyles, and not the opposite. So when Aaron would enter, when the Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'al yavo b'chol eis. Don't come in with the Times. Who cares what it says in the blogs and the Times? Who cares what's popular to believe? Lo yehen l'hachnez ruach shal eis el HaKodesh. Don't bring the mentality and the attitude of the ace. Well, you come on, get with the Times. Get with the Times. You're so archaic. You're so old-fashioned. What are you doing? Come on, get with the time. Your Times? You could take your Times. We don't bring it into shul. Lo yavo b'chol eis. There is no subscription. We cancel the subscription at shul. We never had it, but to the Times. Lo yavo b'chol eis. We don't bring it in. El HaKodesh. El HaKodesh. We don't bring it in here. It's a whole new taitch, a whole new way of understanding. A whole new way of understanding. He goes on, that's not all, but I want to see further insights that he has. You see this also. He doesn't bring this, but I'll tell you another vort. It's more than a vort. The Gemara Shabbos says that after 120, when we come upstairs, we're asked a series of questions. And one of the questions the Heavenly Tribunal asks us is, Kavata itim l'Torah, which again, we simply understand to mean, did you set aside time? Tuesday mornings, 9:30 a.m. Did you set aside time to learn? Wednesday mornings, 8:05 Tanya, 9 o'clock Living with Amuna. Sunday morning, Smichas Chaver. Friday, turn Friday into Erev Shabbos. Friday morning, turn Erev Shabbos. Did you set aside times for learning? See what I did there? Did you, a little shameless plug. Did you set aside times for learning? Did you, kavata, were you kovea, did you establish itim times to learn? Not just learn haphazard, not learn when it was convenient, not learn when you felt like it, but set consistent times to learn. However you could read it, you could understand it a little bit differently. What really we will be asked after 120 when we come upstairs is, kavata itim la Torah or kavata Torah la itim? Did you establish the times based on Torah, or did you establish the Torah based on the times? Again, that word, lo yavo b'chol eis, itim, itim, kavata itim l'Torah. Did you look at the times and say, I have to interpret and understand the world based on Torah? Who is Iran? What do they represent? What is good versus evil? What is Amalek? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? What is Ribbono Shel Olam? What is Hashgacha? What are miracles in our times? I'm looking at the world. I'm looking at how it's defining gender, identity, orientation, relationship, institutions. I'm looking at business practices. I'm looking at every aspect of life. Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you look at the times and understand them, interpret them, experience them, process them through Torah? Or God forbid, kavata Torah l'itim. Did you try to make the Torah conform to the times? It's challenging. There's a lot of pressure on us. When it lives in a society, in a world, which you become like Avram Avinu, the Ivri, Me'aver. We're on the other side and we're standing nearly alone and we're desperately holding on to some of our beliefs because we know they're true. We know they're true. So that same word, itim, kavata itim la Torah, lo yavo b'chol eis. Don't come in with all your itim. Don't bring in the times. Here, we're living lamala min ha'itim. In shul, in Yiddishkeit, when a person's living Torah, we're transcending the times. Our truths are not dictated or determined by what's popular, by what the polls say. Just look at the phenomenon we're lifting in, we're living through. We're watching so many of the problems that we have are because of groypers and grifters. Ask your grandchildren what that is. Groypers and grifters. Groypers and grifters are media personalities who don't have principled opinions and take stands. They look at what will be the most popular, what will attract the biggest audience, what will bring in the most money. And then they ride that wave. And that's why they flip-flop. That's why they change. That's why you can make videos that show what they said yesterday versus today, today versus tomorrow, because they're just going with the wind. Whatever will bring them the most followers, the greatest influence, and bet the most money. That's not us and our people. We have principles and we have truths, and we stand by them, and they don't change. Lo yavo b'chol eis. When a person enters Kodesh, you don't bring a mentality and attitude of b'chol eis. What do you bring? Bezos yavo ela Aaron ela kodesh. What's bezos? That word zos we said is ambiguous. No, what's zos? Next piece in the Menachem Tzion. Hamila zos mitzeges musag plai v'sodi shebechol haTorah v'ikronaseh ha'yisodim kruchem kulam ba. That word zos is fundamental, foundational, that the whole Torah and all its principles stands on it, is intertwined with it. Just think about how many psukim we see that word zos that you think is so ambiguous and mysterious. What does it mean? And yet, it appears in so many places. In the future, God will turn to the nations of the world who will request from him reward, and he'll ask them, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Gimel, Mi Bahem Yagid Zos. Chazal say, Ein Zos Ela Torah. You know what Zos refers to? A life of Torah. Torah philosophy, Torah ideology, Torah behavior. How do you know that? Because what do we say when we lift the Torah every day with Hagbah, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos? Vizos HaTorah Asher Samosha Lifnei V'nei Yisrael. Vizos HaTorah. Ein Zos Ela Torah. Whenever you see the word Zos being used, it is an allusion, a reference to. Vizos means Torah. In Tehillim, we just sang it on Pesach and then Rosh Chodesh. Me'es Hashem Haisa Zos. He neflos be'einenu. From Hashem came Zos. It's wondrous in our eyes. Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Mi ha'isha chacham v'yavin as Zos. V'asher dibya per Hashem elav v'yagida. Nevertheless, in Tehillim we say, Ish ba'ar lo yeda, uksil lo yavin as Zos. Yeshaya, Ashrei enosh yasa Zos. Uven adam yacha zigba. Hashem turns to Klal Yisrael, Malachi, v'chanvani na bezos, v'chanuni na bezos, amar Hashem tzavakos. Zos. David HaMelech says, Im takum alai milchama, be Zos ani boteach. You could have a lot of fun. The Medrash says, "B'mech hasam Yaakov." What did Yaakov end with? Zos, v'zos asher diber lehem avihem. Moshe gave Klal Yisrael a bracha. Where did he start? V'zos habracha asher berach Moshe ish Elokim is b'nei Yisrael. We don't have enough time left in the shir or the day to find all the psukim references and allusions to that word zos. The fool uksil leyavin is zos. Meis Hashem haisa zos. We the zos v'zos haTorah and Zos yavo Aaron haKodesh. So what is this Zos? Hamusag Zos zacha litfos makam niskav shatorah kulav kronosai yisodim mechuvanim bo. V'dayim abrim. Zos rei v'kadesh. Zos. We have to have clarity. We have to have conviction. We have to have courage. Zos. We have to be able to point and know this. I'm not confused. I'm not somebody who can change based on who I'm talking to. We don't take a poll and our opinion is based on what's popular. We can point with our finger and say Zos. Zos. And that's what the fool doesn't understand. Be principled, be consistent, turn to Torah, because it's Hashem's infinite word, his blueprint for creation. That's the bezos. That's the bezos. The Kohen Gadol Isha Kadosh B'Yosef Ba'am, Kasha Yenichnas Lakodesh Kadoshim HaMakam HaKadosh B'Yosef Ba'olam, B'Yom HaKippurim, Hayom HaKadosh B'Yosef Mikol Yimas Hashana. And the Kohen Gadol, the holiest person, went to the holiest place on the holiest day of the year in order to atone for his people, Ba'ad Be'Sov, Ba'ad Kol Ha'am. What did he bring with him? Zos. Conviction. Courage. A clarity of Torah. Zos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. Come in knowing who you are. Come in knowing who you come from. Come in knowing what you stand for. Come in knowing what your mission is. Come in knowing the truth that you represent unequivocally, unconditionally, unwaveringly. Know who you are and what you're about. Zos yavo. So don't come in lo yavo b'chol eis with the itim. Don't bring the itim in here. Instead, now you understand itim and zos are two sides of the same coin. Don't bring the times, what's current, what's popular. What should you bring? Zos, clarity, courage, conviction, the truth of Torah. That's who we are. That is how we enter. Perek Yud Ches, we are skipping right along because I want to get to Parshas Kedoshim. Last year in the double Parsha, we mostly covered Acharei Mos. So I made a commitment to myself that this year we would cover mostly Kedoshim. So what's the rest of Acharei Mos? We get into Yom Kippur, the whole process of Yom Kippur. The two goats, one is pushed off a cliff, one is offered to Hashem, the lottery, fate versus the recognition of our place and Hashem's role, Azazel, who is Uzzah and Ael, this voice in our own head. Oh, so much to talk about over here. The Ketores, who we allow in, the confession the Kohen Gadol has to for himself, for his family, and for the people in that order, because you can't atone for the people before you first take care of yourself. After the Avodah of Yom Kippur. We get into the prohibition against eating blood, our obligation to cover the blood. We've covered this in previous Parsha classes. And then we get into the laws of forbidden relationships, Perek Yurches. It's familiar to us. When do we read this? Yom Kippur, Mincha. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Page 648 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Daber B'nei Yisrael Yemar Ta'aleim. Speak to the Jewish people and tell them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am the Lord your God. That is a very popular refrain in these two parshios. Ani Hashem appears six times in Parshas Acharimos. And how many times does it appear in Kedoshim? I don't remember. Maybe 18 times. Many times. That's not coincidental. Maybe we'll get into that. Speak to the Jewish people and tell them, I'm the Lord your God. And therefore, Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Sa'asu. Don't perform the practice of the land of Egypt in which you dwelled. Don't walk like an Egyptian, the place that you lived, where I took you out of, nor adopt the practice of Canaan, the place I'm taking you to. Differentiate yourself. Have the courage to be different. Have the courage to stand out. Live the blueprint, the prescription I'm giving you, says Hashem. Bezos Yavo Aaron. Know who you are, where you come from, how you're meant to live. Live Torah. Don't be Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, and don't be Kemaisa Canaan, says the Menachem Tzion, our last one of the day. What is the Torah telling us? When God says, don't be like the Egyptians, what does he mean by that? If it means don't worship idols, so you don't have to tell me don't be like an Egyptian, the Torah already tells us an explicit prohibition, don't worship idols. So when the Torah is telling us don't be like an Egyptian, if don't be like an Egyptian means don't do the prohibited behaviors of the Egyptians, you don't need to tell me don't be like an Egyptian. The Torah explicitly tells me the prohibited behaviors of the Egyptians. So what is this azhara miyuchad? What is this specific prohibition? Ela kavanas apostle glomar says that Menachem Tzion, kemaisa eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo sa'asu. Maisa zesh yishavtem ba yishivas keva. Ukemaisa eretz Kanaan asher ani mevi yischem. You need to know that your address, you got your mail for a little while in Egypt. But don't ever, ever dwell there. Don't ever assimilate and integrate. Don't ever think you're permanently part of that world and that life. That is not who you are. That is not where you live. That is not what you are about. You are just passing through. You are just there temporarily. That is not your home. Yes, you're a citizen. You're a resident. You're also a stranger. And that's ever since Avram Avinu, Rav Soloveitchik's insight, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, I'm a resident and a stranger at the same time. We are part proud Americans, patriotic, we're citizens, we contribute to and benefit from society, but make no mistake, and they are making us remember now, that at the same time, that culture and those attitudes, they're not ours, they're foreign to us. We're not permanently fixed here, we are in Golus. We have to know we're temporarily here. We're in a business trip. When you go on a business trip, you find a nice place to stay, you eat nice restaurants, you don't have to suffer while you're there, but you also realize all along that you're there, you're not home. So we're in a business trip, and there's nothing wrong with staying in a nice place and eating nice meals. There's nothing wrong with setting ourselves up to enjoy while we're here on a mission, but we should never get confused to think that this is home. That hotel or Airbnb is not home. No matter how nice one you reserved, no matter how nice the one you're staying in, it's not home, and this isn't home. Kemaisa says, the Menachem Tzion, El Eretz Yisrael, Gadiras Keva Yechida, that we need to know that this is not home. And that's the prohibition. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is warning us. Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim doesn't mean any of their particular behaviors that we already know, that we already have in the specific prohibitions, explicit prohibitions for those behaviors. So what was the Torah telling us? Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem. Don't be Yoshev. Don't integrate. Don't settle. Don't see yourself as a citizen. No, you're on a business trip. No, you're there temporarily. Know that it's not permanent and you're not there forever. Know that that is not home. Sorry, one more on this parsha before we turn over. Turn the page. Observe my decrees and my laws which you should carry on and by which you shall live. I am Hashem. V'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem. That may be familiar to you, that expression. V'chai b'hem. What does v'chai b'hem mean? V'chai b'hem means live with them, live through them. And in fact, this is a halachic mandate. The Gemara Chazal understood v'chai b'hem v'lo she'yamas b'hem. If observing a Torah mitzvah, if observing a halacha will cost you your life, v'chai b'hem. Hashem wants us to live. And therefore, if there's a conflict between observing a halacha or preserving your life, what do? Pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos, docha Torah, except for the Gimel Chamuros. We have three exceptions, the three cardinal sins. Gila Raya Shvichas Dama Vodazara. Murder, idolatry, and illicit behavior relations. Those three, if they would cost you your life, you give up your life rather than violate. But other than those three, the other 6, 10, you give up your life rather than violate. Why? Chazal understood that from V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem V'lo She'yamas Bohem. The whole purpose of Torah is to give our lives meaning and purpose. If observing Torah will cost you your life, then that defeats the very purpose of Torah. And therefore, which one supersedes the other? Preserving your life supersedes observing that mitzvah. In the Sefer Harei Kedem, Rav Shurkin quotes his Rabbi Rav Soloveitchik the Rav, who saw this interpretation of V'chai Bohem V'lo She'yamas Bohem as a core principle of the Torah. Nir Lomar B'zeh, HaRambam Hevi Es Halacha Pikuach Nevesh Docha Kol HaTorah Kula. Where does the Rambam bring this law? That Pikuach Nefesh, saving and preserving a life, supersedes all of the Torah, except for the Gimel Chamuros. Where does the Rambam bring this? The Briskers, those who study Rambam, understand not only can you learn from the actual text of the Rambam, but the Rambam organized, as an encyclopedia, he organized halacha. And where the Rambam chose to put certain laws itself tells you how he understood them. Aside from the text, the words themselves, but in his organization of the law, he was also offering commentary. So where did the Rambam put the halacha? Pikuach nefesh is docha kol torah kula. He put it in the 5th parak of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Therefore, nira mizeh, dedina devachai behem v'lo she'yamas behem, hum Yesodei HaTorah. That the halacha of v'chai behem, the halacha of preserving your life, superseding Torah, is a halacha in Yesodei HaTorah. This is a core principle of Torah. And the Rambam says, this is the lashon of the Rambam there, she'ein mishpatei haTorah nikba ba'olam el rachem v'ches v'shalom ba'olam u'mishecholak al zeh u'cholak al Yesodei haTorah u'lahachi harehu b'chlal haminim. Let's say someone says, you know what? I'm so holy. I'm so sacred. I'm such a tzaddik. It's true that you're allowed to eat the non-kosher in order to save your life. Somebody, God forbid, says to you, eat this non-kosher or I'm going to kill you. It was hard to imagine that scenario until the last few years where hostages were held and who knows what they could be told or threatened with. But a person, an enemy of Israel, takes a Jew and says, eat this non-kosher or I'll kill you. What's the halacha? Eat the non-kosher. Let's say someone says, I'm going to eat non-kosher. I'm a tzaddik. I strive for greatness. I'm not eating the non-kosher. I'm not eating the non-kosher. So you might think that person is exceptionally righteous. According to Harei Kedem, according to Rav Soloveitchik, based on this Rambam, such a person is a kaifer. Such a person is a heretic. They're bechalal haminim. Because v'chai b'hem v'lo she'yamas b'hem is miyisodei Torah. It is a core principle and value of Torah. You're not entitled to give up your life. For the big three, you have to give up your life. But other than the big three, you're not entitled to give up your life. And if you think that you're going to be more religious than God and give up your life for Him, you're not doing it for Him. That's not our religion. That's a form of heresy. That's a form of heresy, and that is a terrible, terrible mistake. This is a good opportunity for me to offer an apology, a public apology. Many years ago, several years ago, I said in a conversation, that I challenged that the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Zchus Yigen Aleinu, that the Kleisenberger Rebbe went through the war and never ate non-kosher. Never actually ate non-kosher. And I said, you speak to survivors, they said that was impossible. And I spoke to somebody who knew someone who went through the war with the Kleisenberger, also said that was impossible, and I challenged it. And since then, the author of the biography of the Kleisenberger Rebbe was in touch with me and shared with me where the Kleisenberger Rebbe himself in his forum alludes to and thanks Hashem for the miracle that he was never in a position that he ever had to violate kashrus. He would have if he had to save his life. As we're learning, it's a principle of Torah, and it's heresy not to. The Kloisenberger Rebbe testified about himself, so who am I, of course, to challenge that? So I offer this public apology to the Rebbe, publicly, for even suggesting that that's not the case. But the Rebbe himself would have if he had to. He thanks Hashem that he was able to go through the war in such a circumstance that he didn't need to. Without, of course, impugning or challenging those who did, they did the right thing. Anyone who went through the war and had to eat non-kosher to save their life, it's not that they made a concession they should feel bad for or need forgiveness for. It's miyisodei haTorah, the Rambam puts it, pikuach nefesh docha kol haTorah, in yisodei haTorah. And had they not done that, they'd be bechlal haminim. Had they not done that, they'd be included among the heretics. And so you see this very important understanding in the Harei Kedem, how he understood it based on where the Rambam codifies it. Rav Volba also, in Ali Shor Chilik Beis, Rav Volba, the great Mashkiach, also addresses V'chai Bahem. Gemara Makos, Daf Yud, tells us, if a person accidentally murders, they flee, they run, where? To an ear? Miklat. They run to an ear Miklat. Why? Because the family members of the victim are entitled to pursue, and therefore to save himself, he goes to the ear Miklat. And there the Torah says about the individual, he can run to one of the cities, he flees to an ear Miklat, and what does he do there? V'chai. He runs to an ear Miklat, V'chai, and he can live there. He can live there. And the Gemara Makos, Daf Yud, interprets that a Talmud, someone's learning in yeshiva, a younger man in Kolel, Chas V'Shalom, has an incident where he killed by accident, he has to run to an ear Miklat. Do you know who goes with him? His Rebbe. Rav Asher Ariely, he's given the biggest shir in the world, in the Mir. Chalila, Tam, sorry, stop shir, you're going to move into the ear Miklat. The Rebbe goes with him. The Rebbe interrupts the Rosh Yeshiva. He's running the yeshiva, he's given the shir, biggest shir in the world, and he stops to run to an ear Miklat. Why? So the Gemara understood, V'chai. Because when this individual runs to the ear Miklat, we have to provide him everything he needs to live. What does he need to live? Wi-Fi? Internet connection? That's not what Chazal say. What he needs to live is his Rebbe. He needs Torah in order to live. That's V'chai. The Rambam codifies as Hechos Rotzeach in the seventh parak. And the Rambam there writes that when a Talmud is exiled, we send the Rebbe, because the Torah says V'chai. And for those who seek wisdom without Torah, it's as if they're dead. If you don't have access and you're not learning Torah, then you can't achieve and fulfill V'chai. You see, the very definition of V'chai is, what's V'chai? A life of Torah. You're only really alive if your life is informed and inspired and guided by Torah. By Torah. It's possible for a person to know an enormous amount of Torah, writes the Mashkech Rav Volba. It's possible to know an enormous amount of Torah, but fail to V'chai. You're not living Torah. How can you get to the level of Torah as part of your life? So Rav Volba compares it to a life. Can you be alive if you forget to breathe? Breathing has to be uninterrupted. If a person struggles to breathe, they gasp for air. It's an emergency. We call a code. It's a problem. If a person's heart, can the heart be like, you know, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I've been doing this now for a lot of days. Give me a day off. Can't give me a day off? The heart says, give me 1 hour. Let me rest for 1 hour. If you think about it, it's extraordinary. From when we're born till we leave this world, the heart doesn't get a break. Not for a day, not for an hour, not for a minute. And if the heart were to stop, if the heart were to be interrupted, if the heart were to stutter, we'd call Hatzalah. You'd be in trouble. How is it that we live physically only when we live uninterrupted? And said Rav Volba, the same is true spiritually, V'chai. How do you live? Only when your spiritual life is uninterrupted. If you say, when I'm on vacation, I leave the Torah and the halacha behind. There are people, they go on vacation, they dress differently, they eat differently, their priorities are different when they go on vacation. There are people, all of a sudden, on a beach, in the wardrobe, the rules, things change. V'chai means consistent, constant, uninterrupted. Just like your lungs and your heart, you're only alive when they're operating uninterrupted. Spiritually, you're only alive when your values and your lifestyle is uninterrupted. And our whole day is guided by Torah. But you're going to the Parashat this morning and maybe only you come back to the Midrashah tonight, but you didn't learn in between, that's called uninterrupted? Yeah. If everything we did in between, we did guided by Torah, that's called uninterrupted. Our Torah heart is beating. Our Torah lungs are breathing. Uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. That, Reb Chaim, has a shtickle based on a Taisus. That's how Birchas HaTorah work. Birchas HaTorah is a bracha we say before the mitzvah of learning Torah. So you said a Birchas HaTorah this morning. I hope you did. Before you came to shir, in davening, when you woke up, you said a Birchas HaTorah. Lasok b'divrei Torah, asher b'charbanu, v'haravna. There are three parts of that bracha. They correspond with the three types of bracha. Birchas Shevach, Birchas Hananim, Birchas HaMitzvah. Not for now. But you made a bracha before we learned, a Birchas HaTorah. But now you're going to go to the gym, you're going to the supermarket, you're going to the doctor. Unlike you, some of us have to work. You're going to go to work. And then tonight, you're going to come back, you're going to learn more Torah. How come you don't have to make a new Birchas HaTorah? If you make a bracha, you sit in the sukkah. And then you go on a teyul for the day, Lion Country Safari. When you come back for dinner and you sit in the sukkah, do you have to make a new bracha? Avada, of course you have to make a new bracha. So how come tonight when you're going to learn again, after you interrupted during the day, you don't have to make a new bracha? You ever think about that? Ever bother you? There's a Tosfos of bracha, and Reb Chaim understood. You know why? The bracha he made was not lilmod Torah, it was lasok, to be occupied by Torah. If Torah governs the way you do business, if Torah governs the way that you check out at Publix, please and thank you and use the name of the cashier, the way you park the car between the lines, not on the line. If Torah guides the way you operate, the way you behave and who you are, then you never took a break, you never interrupted. You don't have to make a new bracha. You didn't leave the sukkah of Torah, so to say. That's the v'chai. That's how Rav Volba understood v'chai. Rav Volba understood v'chai as, v'chai means just like our breathing and just like our heartbeat is uninterrupted, so to v'chai, our spiritual heartbeat, the Torah, our life, we're never on vacation, we're never on a break. Our relationship with Torah and Hashem is like marriage. I don't have to finish this metaphor, but when a person goes on a business trip, they're still married. That's part of their core identity. That's who they are. It's part of their consciousness and who they talk to and how they talk and what circumstances they put themselves in. They're not on a break. And that's v'chai. That's v'chai. That was the pledge and promise under that chuppah. It's like the air I breathe, v'chai. My marriage, our relationship, it's part of my core consciousness, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of my life. And v'chai, that's my relationship with Hashem, and that's my attitude towards Torah, v'chai. So the individual who runs to the Ir Miklat, the Rebbe goes with him, v'chai, because without Torah, you're not alive. And how do you then define v'chai? Consistent and constant, just like our heart, just like our lungs. That has to be our lifestyle of Torah. I was going to share with you lastly a piece by the Ger Rosh Hashiva of Shal Alter Shlita, in understanding v'chai bahem, but I want to get to the rest of this parsha. So I told you enough on v'chai bahem. B'li neder, we'll come back to it in the future. Let's go to Parshas Kedoshim, page 656. Perek Yotes, pasuk Yurches. Let's go. Kedoshim Tiyu. What is Kedoshim Tiyu? Be holy. We are learning now kedusha and sitter snippets. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. We use that word holy. Holy is not a Jewish word. Holy comes from other religions. To define the word kadosh as holy. What is holy? Did it help to say holy? We don't know what kadosh is, so we say holy. Good, now what's holy? So previously we went to Rashi, the Ramban, separate, apart, different. What is holy? How do you define it? We talked about that in the past. And the Parshas Kedoshim is chocked full of a plethora of mitzvos. And the challenge of learning Parshas Kedoshim is to weave through the common themes and denominators and what's happening, why they brought in this order, and what's the relationship between them. And so the Torah tells us all of these incredible laws between us and Hashem, between us and others, and between us and ourselves. Karbanos, gifts to the poor, honesty in business, don't steal, pay people on time, don't curse, don't put a stumbling block. All these halachas, don't gossip, lassis, don't hate your brother, rebuke when it's appropriate, how, who, when, where, which brings us to Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yudches, chapter 19, verse 18, bottom of page 660. Lo sikom velo sitor. Don't take revenge and don't bear a grudge as b'nei amecha, to the people of your nation. V'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Instead, love your neighbor as yourself, ani Hashem. Love your neighbor as yourself. I have to tell you, the Kapishnitz Rebbe, Zatzal, Kapishnitz Rebbe had a beautiful explanation of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to this quote. If you love a fellow Jew because he's learned, that's an act of love of Torah scholars. If you love him because he supports Torah, you fulfill the requirement of the love of Torah. If you love him from admiration of his or her tzedakah, that's a case of loving tzedakah. But if you love a Jew who's neither a Talmud Chacham, nor a Baal Tzedakah, nor a supporter of Torah, That's Avas Yisrael. That's Avas Yisrael. If you love a fellow Jew because there's something about them you love, then you love that thing. You don't love them. But if you love a fellow Jew, even when there's nothing to love about them, but you choose to love them anyway, that's Avas Yisrael. What an insight. When you love someone because you say, oh, that's a Baal Tzedakah, that's a Baal Chesed, that's a Talmid Chacham, they're artistic, they daven beautifully, they're... When you love that thing about them, then you don't love them, you love the thing about them. But when you love the person, when there's nothing you could find about them to like, that's love. That's love. The way I see it and the way I always understand and try to work on this pasuk, it's easy to love the people you like. But the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, to love a fellow Jew, is to even love the people you don't like. Like is an adjective. I like you. I like spending time with you. I like a lot of things about you. I like you. Love is not an adjective. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love is loyalty. Love is support. Love is unity. Love is care. Love is concern. Love is showing up. Love is defending. Love is not an adjective. It's a verb. Like is an adjective. And you can choose who you like. And if you don't like someone, you don't have to be friends with them. You don't have to be around them. But you have to love even the people you don't like. Not in my family, Baruch Hashem, but there are people who have individuals in their family they don't like very much. But it's too bad, they still have to love them. You still have to love that member of the family that you really don't like. You have to love them. What does that mean? You have to be there, you have to defend them, you have to be loyal to them, you have to show up at their simcha, you have to show up in good times and in bad times, you have to not stab them in the back, you have to be loyal. That's love. You have to love even the people you don't like. And we are all one big family. And we have to love even the people that we don't like. Even the people that we don't see in them something that we love. One of my favorite stories is Rav Ari Levin, the great tzaddik of Yerushalayim. Rav Ari Levin, the great tzaddik of Yerushalayim. So there was a boy who grew up in Nachlaot, Rav Ari Levin's neighborhood. And he was no longer as intensely religious as his childhood, as his education. He cut off his payas and he took off his yarmulke and he changed his dress and his garb. And when he did anything in his power to avoid Rav Ari Levin. It was awkward, he'd be uncomfortable, he'd be embarrassed and ashamed, he didn't want to make the tzaddik uncomfortable, so he'd walk the alleys of Nachlaot trying to avoid the tzaddik Rav Ari Levin. And one day he turned the corner and punked! There was Rav Ari Levin, there was the tzaddik. Oh, he was embarrassed, he was ashamed, he didn't know what to do. But Rav Ari Levin, the great tzaddik, just said to him, I haven't seen you in so long, how are you, what are you up to, what's doing? And the boy said, I have to admit, I've been trying to avoid you. I'm not religious anymore. I don't wear a yarmulke anymore. I cut off my payas. I don't dress necessarily like an observant Jew. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to see you. So Rav Ari Levin, the great tzaddik, looked at him and he said, you know, I'm a very short man. Rav Ari Levin was very short, 4 foot something, very short man. He said, I'm a very short man. I can only see what's in your heart. I can't see what's on your head. Isn't that beautiful? I'm a very short man. I only see what's in your heart, I can't see what's on your head. We all have to be a little bit shorter. We're so focused on looking what's on someone's head. Are they wearing a yarmulke? Is it the same type of yarmulke I'm wearing? Is she covering her hair? Is she covering it the way I do? We're all busy looking at what's on someone's head. We should get a little bit shorter. Stoop down a little bit. Instead, look in their heart. If the last 3 years haven't taught us anything. You know, the war with Iran that on the one hand, God forbid it shouldn't start up again. On the other, we want to finish them off. It didn't matter. You know, millions of our brothers and sisters were running to bomb shelters. And at the entranceway and doorway of their bomb shelters, nobody said, let me check your yarmulke before you could come in. Let's see. Let me see how you cover your hair before you could come in. Nobody said, do you go to the army? You don't go to the army. You go to the cheder. You go to this school. How do you observe Yom Ha'atzmaut? Do you make a bracha? No bracha? Hallel? Did you eat a blue and white cookie? Did you wave a flag? Did you do daglanut? Did you stand still for the siren? On the way into the bomb shelter, running from the missiles, people loved each other, and they let in even the people they can't like, even the people they're struggling like anything to like, but they open the door because they love them. That's what it means, Avas Yisrael. That's what it means, Avas Yisrael, to find that way to love even the people we don't like, to talk to them, and to find something redeemable in them, and to feel a shared history and a common destiny. And even while there are very, very, very significant and important differences and debates that are happening in our people, all over the world and particularly in our beloved homeland, Today, Yom HaZikaron. Tonight, tomorrow, Yom HaTzmut. These are times, if we want Hashem to not regret the miracles He did for us, we have to demonstrate for Him our ability to get along, to love even the people that we struggle to like. That's V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. Okay, that was my little editorial comment on the side. Back to Parsha class. V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. That's Kamocha. Love your neighbor, Kamocha, as yourself, means see the piece of you in them. What do you have in common? What's redeemable? What can you find in them? Look in their heart, not only on top of their head. V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. We've quoted this Fas Emes before. V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha presumes. If love your neighbor as you love yourself, presumes what? That you love yourself. Sfas Emes says, you see from here, there's a mitzvah to love yourself. Now, some people are a little zealous in fulfilling that mitzvah. They could love themselves a little less. But sadly and tragically, we're living in a time of such mental health challenges that come because people who love themselves too little. And we have to remind them to love themselves, forgive themselves, give themselves the benefit of the doubt, believe in themselves. V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The premise, the presumption is, don't forget to love yourself. There's a mitzvah, love yourself. Why should I love myself? So narcissistic, so egotistical? I should love myself? No, we love ourselves because it's a piece of Hashem, Ani Hashem. Chilek alakoh mimol mamash is a piece of Hashem in us. Rav Tzadok HaKohen famously writes, Kishem kach, just like there's a mitzvah to believe emuna in Hashem, there's a mitzvah to have emuna in ourselves. How should I have faith in myself? Myself, who am I to have faith in me? The answer is, Ani Hashem. There's a piece of God in me. There's therefore that which to have faith in myself. Now this pasuk combines a few mitzvahs. Lo sikom v'lo sitor. By the way, first I'll tell you. In the Tshuvas Yachal Yisrael, anyone who wrote the Tshuvas Yachal Yisrael? Former chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, Zol Zayin Gesund und Stark. Rav Lau, in his Tshuvas Yachal Yisrael, writes the following. V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha, im Kamocha, kavana Kamocha mamash olo. You could ask, love your neighbor as yourself. Does it mean literally yourself, like yourself? Kamocha, like yourself, or kamocha, literally yourself? Unisayim, he says, let me finish. B'rayon nifla, hanemar b'shem ha'Baal Shem Tov. He ends with an insight of the Halakha Baal Shem. Umeduyak b'loshon mitzvah zu. L'fi ha'klal b'midasho, the modid kach modidim lo. We have a rule. The way we act is the way that God acts with us. Ha'im ha'adam mekabas kul b'sevir panim yafos. Eina mitzayar s'chaver, kovis ke'ivarev, sameach b'simchaso. Do we greet others with a positive countenance, disposition? Do we smile? Are we warm and welcoming? Do we feel the pain, sympathy, and empathy? Are we happy? Can we forgive others? On top of everything else? Do we show up? Do we stand by the side of people in every situation? We want Hashem. Hashem is a reflection of us. Hashem is our mirror. How we interact, how we behave, what part of ourselves we give to others is how Hashem interacts with us. And says Rav Lau, in the name of the Baal Shem, that's what it means. V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. If you love your friend, Kamocha, that's what Hashem is going to do to you. The way we interact with others is how Hashem will interact with us. The mitzvah is V'yahavta L'reicha. Kamocha is totsa'a mikiyum ha-mitzvah. You hear the Baal Shem? V'yahavta L'reicha. Love your neighbor, love your fellow Jew, love even the ones you don't like, love. And when you do, kamocha, that's how Hashem will treat you. It's a whole new way of understanding that pasuk. Nice, no? Beautiful. Our closeness to Hashem will determine and dictate Hashem's closeness to us. Now, this pasuk is complicated. Lo sikom v'lo titor. Don't take revenge. Don't take revenge. At the core, there's a beautiful Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says, Mishar Shem Mitzvah, the root of this mitzvah, Sheyeda Adam Yitein Libo, Ki Kol Asher Yikru Mitov, V'yad Rahu Siba Shetav Olam Me'is Hashem Baruch Hu. It's an amazing Sefer HaChinuch on this pasuk. Lo sikom v'lo titor. Never, ever, ever take revenge. What's the difference between two? Lo sikom v'lo titor. You came to your neighbor and you said, can I borrow your food processor, and they said, no. When your neighbor comes to you and says, can I borrow your blender? Losiko means, don't take revenge by saying no, you can't borrow it. Lositor means don't take revenge by letting them borrow it, but saying, I'm not like you. You didn't let me borrow the food processor, but I'm more than happy for you to borrow the blender. Two separate prohibitions. One is don't take revenge by not letting them. The other is even if you do let them, don't remind them or highlight that you're different than them. Losikam velositor. But the general rule is don't take revenge. Wonders the Sefer HaChinuch, why not? Revenge is sweet. Revenge is sweet. Somebody harmed you, somebody hurt you, somebody injured you, somebody insulted you, someone degraded you, somebody made fun of you, somebody defamed you, and you got the chance to get them back. You got a chance to take revenge. Sweet. So why does the Torah say you're not allowed to? I would have thought, what's the reason for this mitzvah? Don't be a manuvel. Who are you? You know, be a mensch. Be bigger than that. Be better than that. Treat him kindly. Be above that. That's not what the Torah says. It says that Sefer HaChinuch, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. You know why? Because if something happened to you, maybe that person was the shliach, the conduit through which it happened, but it was only the will of Hashem. You weren't meant to have that food processor. Somebody dinged your car, don't take revenge against them because your car was meant to get dinged. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch is clear that you're allowed to, of course, be made whole. You can seek compensation. If somebody's harmed you or injured you, you're allowed to take them to a din Torah. You're allowed to get payment for whatever they did. But there's a big difference between being made whole, defending yourself, and taking revenge. The moment a person seeks or takes revenge, they're knocking God out of the equation. They're saying what happened to them wasn't from God. I have to tell you, Baruch Hashem, hasn't happened often. But as a public person, as a community leader, you get people who can post things nasty about you online. Many years ago, once a time, people put things in most of the mailboxes on Montoya Circle. There are things that can hurt. They you feel them in your kishkas. I learned the Sefer HaChinuch when I was going through one of them, and it entirely changed my attitude, my approach. It helped me heal and let it go. Because instead of focusing on who did that and what can I do to get even with them, you start saying, why was I meant to experience this? And what am I meant to learn from it? But don't get me wrong. We'll find out who that person is. But to take revenge is to focus on the person and to attribute all that happened to them as if God had nothing to do with it. But we, as people of faith, are meant to interpret and understand everything we go through, everything that happens in life. I can't believe that person sideswiped my car. I can't believe that person, this happened, that happened, the other happened. Okay, collect their insurance information. If necessary, take into a din Torah. We have to do what we have to do in life. But never with an attitude of revenge. Why? Because whatever we went through is what was meant to happen. And all of a sudden now we can process it and experience it entirely differently. That something that happened was for our own good. We're meant to learn and grow from it. It was by design. It wasn't random coincidence or chance. And we don't blame it on some other person. It's an incredibly important Sefer HaChinuch. I wish there was time to read you the entire thing inside. We need to feel it. Yargish v'yitein elibo. Feel it and place it in our heart to know that it's all coming from Hashem. That's why, says the Mashkiach Rav Dan Segel, that's why it's also on the heels of the last pasuk. L'sisnas achicha bilvavecha. Don't hate another person in your heart. L'sikom, don't take revenge. Meaning, if you come to hate the person in your heart and you want revenge, it's because you think it was all them, God wasn't part of it. But the moment you realize God meant this day for you to go through that experience, something nasty was posted online, someone embarrassed you in public. Who do we learn this from? David HaMelech. David HaMelech was insulted horribly, and his advisor said, let's kill him, Shem Megero. And David HaMelech said, no, I was meant to be embarrassed, I was meant to be insulted publicly. It wasn't him. Hashem chose him to be that messenger through whom it happened, but the message is for me to get and not to blame that individual. It's a very powerful example David HaMelech set for us, and that's what we're meant to follow, Losikam Velositor. But there's one last question on Losikam Velositor. On the one hand, the pasuk says you're not allowed to get revenge, and on the other hand, whom do we describe as somebody who's almost consumed with the pursuit of revenge? None other than God Almighty. Kel Nekamos Hashem, V'yinkon Leinenu, all of Avarachamim, which we say even during Sfira when we bench Rosh Chodesh, even if there's a simcha, why? because it was written for the Crusades, the martyrs of the Crusades. And it applies in our time too. That's why Moriv Rabbi of Shechter Paskin throughout the 3 years of the war, Avarachamim was said, and we followed that in our shul. Even during times where ordinarily you'd omit Avarachamim, we said it. As our people were martyred, as we lost holy soldiers, Kedoshim, we continued Avarachamim. And what do we say in this tefillah of martyrdom of Avarachamim? Yizkareim Elokeinu Latova. God, remember them, Shar Tzadikei Olam, V'yinkom le'einenu nikmas dam avadach ha'shafuch. And God, remember them and take revenge, avenge their blood. Kidam avadav yikom, v'nakam yashiv letzarav, v'nikesi damam lo nikesi, nikmas dam avadach ha'shafuch. Over and over again. Two nights in a row here in the Golos, we open the door, and what do we call appeal to God to do? Shvoch hamascha el. God, pour out your wrath. Take sweet revenge. What do we say in Halleluka? Shir Lashem Shir Chadash. We call God Romamos Kel Bigronam V'Cher Pipiyos B'Yadam La'asos Nikama Bagoyim La'asos B'Mishpat Kasuv. God is the God of revenge. So which is it? Is there a prohibition of Losikom? Or is God a God of revenge? Which one is it? Which one is it? I think this is important to learn and remember today, Yom HaZikaron. Which is it? So Rav Hirsch writes, V'yinkom yizkareim. Listen to Rav Hirsch. The one factor which more than anything else has protected us from being from the base impulse of vengefulness is constituted by the recital of these portions in our prayer book, which teach us that we must leave all vengeance and retribution for that which others may do to us to none other than Hashem. Throughout its long existence, the people of Israel, sorely tried, like no other nation in history, has borne again and again the most outrageous atrocities, maltreatment, cruelty, without ever raising an avenging hand against its foes and oppressors, and without ever attempting to work retribution upon the peoples and rulers who had unleashed upon Israel their excesses of fanatical inhumanity. The reference here to the statements throughout our sacred literature with regard to the promises and reassurance that Hashem will bear and reserves for himself the exacting of retribution for every ill that we have suffered at the hands of our foes is only due to our trust in the validity of these promises that we found the strength to submit to murder without ever becoming murderers ourselves. We are able to defend ourselves and fight for ourselves, but never lower ourselves to their level of looking for revenge. How and why, says Rav Hirsch? Because we have faith that Hashem is the one who will take care of all of our business. Hashem will get it all done. Hashem nahad to avenge. Hashem yikom damam. It was only through these tefillos that in the midst of a populace that derided, hated, and mistreated us, we could maintain loyalty to the rulers of the land to which we have been dispersed, to keep alive within our hearts sentiments of human sympathy for their peoples. Our appeal to Hashem have helped us remain human and kind. Our commitment to Losikom, where do we find the courage to have the commitment to Losikom? Is because we have faith that Kel Nekamos Hashem, that Hashem is the one who's going to get it done. Hashem is the one who gets it done. Wanted to get to a lot more in Kedoshim. Let's try to hit on one or two last ones. Perek Yates Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Let's go to a Tefer Shmuel. Chiyagurit Chager Ba'artzechem Losonu. Perek Yates Pasuk Lamed Gimel. 19:33. When there's a stranger who lives with you, Losonu, Oso. Don't taunt him. Don't aggravate him. Don't aggrieve him. Don't aggrieve him. Why? Because the pasuk goes on. Ki azrach mikem yalachem agir agar itchem. Make him a citizen. Welcome him. Be loving, be welcoming. Why? Because you were strangers in Mitzrayim and Egypt. You know what it was like to be a foreigner, to be an outsider. The Tefer Shmuel of Shul Berambam writes here, Inyan ger, ain't a dafka ger mamish. When we talk about a ger, we're not talking about a convert, goy even his gayer, ela kol ish abami makam rachok. Here the Torah is telling us, anyone who comes from the outside, who feels like a stranger, gam ke nikra ger, is called a ger. Ger is the opposite of toshav. A toshav means a resident, comfortable, fits in, belongs. Ger is the outsider, the immigrant, the person who feels like a stranger. What this means is make him or her like one of you. Lo kamo ish zar. Don't let them feel like an outsider or a stranger. Ke'ezrach mikem ya'ager agar. U'kamechein, and Shul Berenbaum learns from here. Bachur chadash. Shemagil yeshiva. A new kid comes to the class. A new bachar comes to the yeshiva. A new person tries to join the shul. A new person moves into your neighborhood. Tzrichim וקרבו ביוסף בכל מיני אופנים, כדי שירגיש נוח בישיבה החדשה, כמו שאר התלמידים כאזרח מכם. How do you make the person feel? I'm a long-time member of BRS. I've been going to the school forever. I've been working here forever. I've been in this yeshiva forever. Make sure they have a seat at the lunch table. Make sure they have a seat in the shul. Make sure they get invited for the Shabbos meal. Shelo yargish kamo shehu ger. Because we knew that what that was like. We understand what this is like. Yosef at tzadik in Parshas Vayigash, Esa'am avir ha'asole ha'arim miktek bu mitzrayim ad katzei. Rashi writes, Lo'odiyach ha'shivcho shel Yosef, sh'neskavim lahasacher po me'achav, sh'lekurin asam golem. One of the things that Yosef tried to do when his brothers came to Mitzrayim was to integrate them. He had a tremendous welcome committee and buddy system. He made them feel not like strangers and outsiders, like they didn't belong, awkward. He made them feel like they were there. That's this mitzvah. That's the Torah's telling us, Kigerim. We have modern day application. It doesn't just mean the convert, who this certainly applies to, who's trying to navigate very often awkward, complicated situations. That convert, I would say, an extension of that is the Baal Tshuva. We have in this room, we have in our community, we have among the Jewish people, you know, we have sitting here, you can't pick it up on the camera. We have a page turner. And we list, we have the incredible Weiss family and others who keep people on the page. And sometimes from people from other neighborhoods, I won't mention which general area geographically, we'll at best ask about it, often be cynical about it. Yeah, what kind of a shul, page turner, what are you doing? What are you announcing? What's going on there? And I explain to them, if there's one person in the room who doesn't know what page we're on, and you know, we don't know that experience. You want to know that experience? If you're Ashkenazi, one time go daven the Sfardim. You want to know that experience? If you're in Rome, don't go to the Chabad, go to the Rome shul that is still fine. You don't know what page, where they're up to, what's happening here, what's going on. You'll know what it's like to be an outsider. You'll know what it's like to say, can someone show me what page, but I'm embarrassed to ask. Do we stand? Do we sit? Does everybody stand? Am I supposed to be? What's happening right now? You know how horrible a feeling that is for someone? I don't know what page we're on. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know if we're supposed to stand or sit. I don't know what's happening right now. I'm just imitating others. No idea what that's like. No idea what that's like. We have a page turner. If one person doesn't have to be embarrassed, is able to see it and know what page they're on, therefore can daven and feel like they belong, what a mitzvah that is. At what expense, at what cost, just for putting up a page turner? We're getting the renderings of our new shul this morning. We're still finishing. It's going up. It's building. And Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be in November. Part of the conversation, where are we going to put the page turner? How could you have a shul that people can be in and don't know what page you're on? You can't have such a shul. I don't care how firm you think you are, how far you think you've come, what you're trying to prove to whoever you're trying to prove it to. Isn't it more important that every Jew, isn't that a fulfillment of this pasuk? Ki agur itcha ger. Somebody has the courage to come to a shul who hasn't been there before, who didn't grow up that way, who doesn't have the education. Do we begin to understand the courage it takes to come across that door? We don't begin to understand the courage it just takes to come on that campus. We shouldn't make it as easy as possible for them. Do everything that we can for them. Page turner, the least of it. The least of it. Be welcoming, have a seat, hand a sitter, offer to show the page if they look like they're uncomfortable or don't know what. Tell them what you've done. Ki yagur itcha ger. If somebody lives here, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. I don't want to embarrass people in this room. There's somebody who started out later in life coming, and somebody else said, I see you use a little. They recorded for them the davening. Here's what we sing. Here's how it goes. Listen when you want. I just did it for you. You don't have to. You have it if it'll help you in your davening. That's a fulfillment of this mitzvah. That's unbelievable. Because we know what it was like, and we were there. And that's what the Torah is telling us. And it's not just talking to the kid in yeshiva, that's where Shmuel Berenbaum, if Shmuel is directing it to. It's talking to every one of us. Adults can be bullies. Adults can be unwelcoming. Adults can fall into cliques. Adults can be callous. Adults can be sarcastic about page turners, much worse than children. Sometimes they get it much faster than we do. What a mitzvah. What a beautiful thing. Even though there was so much more, we will leave it there. And Mirtz Hashem pick up next week. Please stay for Tehillim. We're still davening. So much to daven for. We'll finish all the Sefer Tehillim. Everyone takes a booklet. It'll take just a few minutes.